You know, we had our 5-day meeting, our visitation 2002, and God sent in Brother Dwight Thompson and just really stirred us. You know, a number of people said, I used to have a fire for sharing Jesus with others, and I let the fire go out, and that week just really rekindled some things. Just right around that time, we're having a conversation with a pastor friend of ours out in California, Pastor Mark Thomas, Mark and his wife Brenda, and we're talking with them about soul winning and about reaching out to people, and really our purpose for being on earth is not just to sit and get fed and blessed, but to do something with it. And we're talking, and Pastor Mark out there said, you need to have Nick Kinnon. And he said he's in Minneapolis. And I said, well, I know of him. He said, you need to have him in. He said, man, he's a blast to have him. He said, it just changed our church. And so he made a phone call, and later on that day, I got a call from Brother Nick Kinnon, I said, would you consider coming down and just taking what you got and putting it into us? And he said, yeah, let's book a date. So Brother Nick came and brought, well, here's, why don't the whole gang stand up? He may introduce you later, but brought a whole group with him. Yeah. Let's let them know we appreciate them coming. How many think we ought to ask him to come back before too awful long? I'll tell you what, maybe we'll just set a soul goal here and have him come back in a while and just give us another shot in the arm. But anyway, they got here on, I gotta stop, think what day it is, on Friday, and Friday night. Now, how many remember how many souls we were believing God for? Okay, now, you know, and again, we're, you know, it's not numbers for the sake of numbers, but, God says, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Isaiah said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And it's talking about souls and prayer, and how do we know when our prayers get answered if we don't ask specifically? So it's not numbers for the sake of numbers and for the sake of competing and all. No, it's just numbers for the sake of knowing that God has done what we've asked Him, and we can stretch our faith out and believe for more. Okay? You have not because you ask not. And so, you know, we weren't having to figure just for the sake of the numbers, but every one of those numbers means a person. It means a life. It means somebody changing direction of their eternity. And there's nothing any better than that. Man, you can have financial miracles, you can have physical miracles, but one sinner repents and all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So it doesn't get any better than that. So anyway, how many remember? How many were that we were believing God? We found out they were believing God for a figure, and I think a few, maybe it kind of shook them a little to think of, in those numbers, you know. So how many were we believing for this weekend? 1,000. Anybody know how many prayed the salvation prayer? 1,126. Hallelujah. Oh, I think it deserves a better shout than that. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. We could just start now and shout till noon and have service. I'll tell you what. And for everyone that prayed, there's 1,000 more out there that don't know Jesus. Hallelujah. The fields are white to harvest. So anyway, I don't know what all Brother Nick's got to share with us this morning, but we want to give him plenty of time. And so just to give him an introduction for most of you now, he really doesn't need one. Been here 3 days, and I so appreciate Brother Nick and the team that just didn't just come and teach it to us. They just took us out and demonstrated. And got a whole lot of us out of some comfort zones and got a lot bolder and this is not going to be just a weekend. This isn't just a meeting. This is the beginning of a move. This is going to continue on. This is not slow down time because they're leaving town. This is speed up time because they've left something on the inside of us. And we're going on from glory to glory. But Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we use this a lot. Around verse 11, the Bible said, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Thank God for his gifts. Gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And uh, The King James says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But a lot of translations word it more like he gave the five gifts for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And most of us had the mistaken idea for the last 20, 30 years that the evangelist gift was to go set up a crusade, preach Jesus, win souls, and let us sit and watch. But really, winning souls is the job of the believer. And I believe a major part of the evangelist job is to teach the believer how to go do what our calling is. And so this has been a thrill to be able to be connected. I'm telling you, this has been an honor and a blessing for us, Brother Nick. We appreciate you coming. We really do. It's been life-changing for all of us. And but the job of the evangelist is not just to go win souls, but to teach the body that we can do that. That's what we ought to be doing. And so that's been very effective in the past 3 days. And we'll never be the same, individually or as a church. Never going to be the same. And, I think people have thought, well, that can't be done in Tulsa. There's nobody in Tulsa that's unsaved. But we discovered differently. It does work in Tulsa. There have been people here that don't know Jesus, and there's a lot more. And it's just so exciting to see how open and hungry and receptive people are to the good news. So anyway, so I just want to introduce Brother Nick Kinn, Pastor Nick Kinn, Evangelist Nick Kinn. He's got a lot of titles, but he's been such a blessing to us, and we want to just receive from his gift and let him pour more of what God's put on him into our hearts this morning. So let's let him know we appreciate him coming. Brother Nick, just come and take your liberty.
Praise God.
We appreciate you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, huh? You may be seated. Praise God forever. Well, it's our first trip down in Oklahoma here. I knew this city was holy for a lot of years. A lot of people were holy without God, though. And praise God, they're made whole with God today. Amen. Yeah, I'll probably be down there pretty soon, Pastor. Praise God. And I just want to thank God for saving me, first of all. I mean, that was a miracle. To save someone who I used to be. And what an honor to be before God's people. You know, when I knew I was called to be an evangelist, Pastor Lynn Hammond told me that I had a unique anointing. And I really didn't understand it. I saw all these preachers. I used to go watch Jimmy Swaggart down in Bloomington, Minnesota. And T.L. Osborne. And all these Reinhard Bonnke and all these mass evangelism preachers. And I remember I started out doing a Bible study down at a homeless shelter. It was called Salvation Army at that time. I don't know why they called it Salvation Army at that time, because there wasn't many salvations there. Amen. But God opened a door for us in about 1982 or 83 to go down to the Salvation Army. And I went down there with another fellow. His name was Peter. He's a good friend of mine. Hallelujah. And him and I started out. We'd go down and we'd preach at a Salvation Army from 6 to 6:30. And then we'd go and eat with the homeless people. You know, a lot of Christians wouldn't do that. They wouldn't even go in a place like that. And that's really sad, because Jesus would have. And he said, as he is, so are we in this world. And we went down there and we preached. And I remember a couple drunks came forward when I had an altar call, and they got born again. And it just really touched my heart, because that was the first sermon I ever preached. And I just thought, wow, this is, you know, maybe I'll be like Reinhard Bonnke or something. Praise God. And so that was the beginning at a homeless shelter. And I tell you, we haven't seen the ending yet. This is just the beginning in this church. I just praise God for his anointing, because I know in myself I'm nothing, but I know in him I can do all things through Christ. And God gave me a message to the body of Christ about stirring up the gift inside of you to do that message, to be a minister of reconciliation. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll just go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get the word this morning. I wish our plane didn't leave so early. We could stay here until 3:30. Because it's been so much fun. It's just awesome. It changes our life every time you do this. I don't care how long you've been doing it. It'll be 23 years in October that I've been doing it. And I'm more excited today than the first time I ever went out on a street corner than I was back then. We don't hit people over the head with the Bible. We don't use the word deceitfully. We speak the truth in love, the Bible said in Ephesians. And it says when we do that, we grow up into Him. A lot of Christians aren't growing today because a lot of Christians aren't going today. And if you start going, you're going to start flowing in the Holy Ghost. You'll be more sensitive to the Spirit of God, I guarantee you. Just little things He'll just show you. And I just thank God for that. To being a doer of the Word. We were doers of the Word this weekend. And if those of you that didn't come, praise the Lord. Thanks for your prayers this weekend. Amen. Because you were partaker of 1,126 precious souls. You know, a lot of people get ticked off at me. You know, I think it's a spirit of jealousy myself when you start talking about numbers, you know, and they're not winning souls. So then they think you're bragging. But if you know my heart, I'm not bragging about it. I know the angels rejoice over one, like Pastor said. Amen. Angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Hallelujah. A lot of angels were really partying this weekend. I mean, you thought the Cinco de Mayo was fun. They're having a great time in heaven. Amen. And all these new creatures that were born again. Brother Hagin used to stand out there and say, I'm a new creature. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Someone used to ask me, what kind of church you go to? And I'd just say, oh, it's non-denominational. But you know, the Holy Spirit told me that I was being ashamed of my church just because I said that. They said, what kind of church you go to now? And I say, oh, it's a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-toting, devil-hating church. Charismatic. We believe in speaking in tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, watching them recover. Because that's the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. Given to who? The new creatures. Given to the new creatures. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed or entrusted unto us the word of reconciliation. He has committed to us. He's entrusted us with His word. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God for His righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God we have right standing with God today, and so do 1,126 new creatures. They stand before Him pure because of the precious blood of Christ. The Bible said where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God we serve the true and living God. Yeah. We meet Muslims, Buddhists, we love them all. But I tell them, I serve a true and living God, sir. Muhammad's in the grave. Yeah. Buddha's in the grave. Yeah. Jesus is alive. Yeah. That's the difference. I ask Buddhists, what has Buddha ever done for you? I've never got he's done this and he's done that. I've asked Muslims, what has Muhammad ever done for you? They can't sit there and tell you what he's done for them. They say, what's Jesus done for you? I said, I used to be a drunk, falling down drunk every day. Drink your troubles away. Tomorrow's another day. I used to work at a bar. I was a busboy. I'll never forget June 15, 1969. I got beat up at a bar. I was a busboy. And they 86, that means they cut people off from drinking at the bar. And the guy that they cut off drinking, he went and grabbed the telephone off the wall, or ripped it off, and starts choking the manager of this supper club. Well, I was 17 years old. And I'm in the kitchen, And I walk out there, and there was a gun involved and everything. I didn't know it then. They had a gun, man. But it was Father's Day, 1969. That's the year I graduated from high school. So I walk out of the kitchen, I hear this man, they're just, you know, wailing on this guy, and I'm a kid, you know, I'm not, this guy's just beating him up, and then I heard my best friend, he was getting beat up in the front bar, he went out to get ice or something, they had him on the floor wailing on him. And then I went out there and I said, get off of him! And they did, and they got on me. The guy that hit me was 38 years old, I was 17. One punch over my left eye, he knocked me on the floor. I had a white bus jacket on, and it was red. And all these people stood around. Nobody wanted to get involved. And the Holy Ghost showed me that one day. He said, do you remember that when you got beat up and all these people stood around? He said, that's like the body of Christ. The devil's out there beating my people up and they don't want to get involved. Isn't that amazing? They didn't want to get involved. You know, I don't care what people think about me. I really don't care. I don't care if they call me a fanatic. I am. It just means to be enthusiastically excited about something. If you look it up in the dictionary.
Right.
I remember we were down in Cancun, Mexico, and Brother Steve Roggenbuck and myself were talking to this one guy, and I just started, he said, fanatic! He said to me, I said, hey, thanks a lot. I said, looked it up in your Webster's dictionary. Hallelujah. I'm sure he did, too. But I'm excited about what Jesus done. They just built a Krispy Kreme donut store. And I like Krispy Kremes too. But you know, I get grieved every time I drive by there. I talked to my wife this morning about 20 to 1 in the morning. And she said, because they went out to eat after church last night. We have services on Saturday night at Living Word Christian Center. And she says, I couldn't believe it, Nick. They're lined up beyond the hotels for a stinking donut. People are so excited. They actually pitched tents in the parking lot the day before this place opened. They have police. They have police out there directing traffic every day. I heard they're building one here.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be excited? Wouldn't you be excited if people were standing in line to get into church? Hallelujah! To get fed the bread of life instead of 30 grams of fat in every donut? And like Pastor Mark said, you can't eat but about 6 of them when you start eating those things. Because they're really good. But I wouldn't stand in line for hours for them. We had people driving all over from out of state and everything. Are you kidding me? For a donut? What's this world coming to? Praise God. I want people to be hungry for God like that. I want people to see that in me. They want what I have. See, I used to be a mailman. Man, I worked there 13 and a half years. Everybody thought I'd be a lifer there, just like they did when I was in the military. See, when I did anything, I always did it to my fullest. When I was in the Army, we'd have to stand guard mounts. And they'd come out and they'd ask us all these military questions, and God's blessed my memory. And they'd go down the chain of command and all this stuff. And if you answered all the questions right, and if you looked good, you don't have to pull guard duty. In fact, you got the day off. And they'd put me on guard duty every 3 days. I'd go stand a guard mount, and I'd get, they call it supernumerary. And I'd get it every time. And people were getting ticked off at me because I didn't go to work ever. So I did. So when I was leaving, they said, hey, Ken, when are you going to re-up? I said, call me at Fort Home, man. I'm going home. Praise God. But I played their game. I did it. I got drafted. I really didn't want to go to the service, but I did it for my country, and I thank God I did. Thank God for America. You ever been to another country? I mean, I hear people bawling and squalling how bad it is here. Come on to me in India when you go in the garbage dump and people are living there. Or go to Peru and little kids and vultures are flying over their heads. And their clothes are all tattered and everything. And we're ticked off because we only got 2 cars. Or we have to pay taxes for the roads. Or we have road construction signs all over and we're tired of, man, I'm tired of driving into this construction. I'm talking about myself, too, because in Minnesota, it's the same as here. I mean, almost every road you go on, there's construction. But I'm still blessed to be here.
Yeah,
what an honor. People got so ticked off at me because I always got the man. In fact, my boss came on me and said, well, I'm going to have to exempt you from guard duty. I said, what for? He said, because you're never here. Amen? And I would always get my fatigue starched. to the fullest, just, you know, in the military. In fact, that was one of the first places someone told me about Jesus. It was a African-American lady down at Fort Knox, Kentucky. It's probably between September 14th, 1970 and November 20th, because that's the stay I had in Kentucky. And I remember going to starch my fatigues at a laundromat, and she was in there, and she told me about Jesus. Planted a seed in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There was another man in 1969. I worked at a factory. I was just got out of high school, and I worked at a factory, and it was a pop factory. And all these people, they knew this one man was saved. His name was Lyle. And they were all just talking behind his back all the time because he really lived for the Lord. And they were mocking him. And, you know, and I just thought, hey, guys, I'm going to pretend I'm a Christian. I told all my buddies. I made a bet with them. And I went right up to him. I said, hey, Lyle, Jesus is coming back, ain't he? I was mocking him. He goes, oh, yeah, Nick, he's coming back soon. And I walked away and all my friends were rolling on the, you know. They didn't think I'd do it. But I did it. I mocked him. My sister got saved. I mocked her. 1970, after Kentucky, I went to Fort Ord, California for my AIT training. And there was a man, he handed in the supply room, he hands us an M16. He said, hey, can I just ask you a quick question? If your life ended today, would you go to heaven? I said, yeah, I'd go to heaven. He said, why? Well, I'm a good person. And then he began to give me his testimony and told me how he was on LSD and all this stuff. And at that time, I had never tried drugs. And I just said, well, if you're going, I'm sure going. You know, like most people do. You know, some people, you tell them out there, I used to be an alcoholic. I never drank a beer in my life, they say to me. Try to justify themselves. Amen. It was 1970. 1972, someone slipped a tract underneath my door. Tracts are anointed. Lay your hands on them, pray over them, anoint them. I picked up this tract, and I started reading it in my apartment, and I started weeping. 1972, started crying. Isn't that amazing? 1974, my sister invited me over to her house for dinner with my brother-in-law. I shared this the other night. And there was a Baptist preacher there. She had just been saved in 74, my sister. And she wanted me to get saved because I was her brother. She wanted me to go to heaven because I was her brother. I was her relative. She didn't want me to go to hell. So she invited me over for dinner with a pastor from a Baptist church. We sat down. I remember him going through this little cartoon chick tract and reading this tract to my brother-in-law and me, my brother-in-law Mike. And he said, we're going to watch the Minnesota Vikings play the Washington Redskins that night, Monday Night Football. And he gets to the last page, he said, would you guys like to ask Jesus Christ in your heart today? And I remember reading Matthew chapter 6. It talks about when you pray, you can go in your closet and pray. You don't have to go out in the street and pray, you know. Let your alms be done before God, not men, you know. And I just, so I knew that scripture, and I told the pastor, I said, didn't the Bible say, pastor, in Matthew chapter 6 or something? I didn't quote the scripture because I didn't really know it then. But I said, didn't the Bible say that when you want to pray, you go in your closet? This is 1974. He says, yeah, that's what it says. I said, I think I'm going to go in my closet. Amen. 1976, Easter Sunday, I came to church, or not church, I came to the post office. It was almost like church because I lived there, like we do in church now. Hallelujah. And it was Easter Sunday. I came in, and there was this one guy. He had real long hair, and he almost looked like Jesus. His name was Mike, and he said, man, why are you so ticked off? And I was swearing and everything. And I said, man, it's Easter. He said, what's Easter mean to you? Well, I probably knew that Jesus died for me and everything, but I just had a ham dinner and time with my family. And he gave me his testimony. That's a type of evangelism, testimonial. So he shared his life with me. Said he was married to a born-again Christian. He knocked her teeth out and went down and cheated on her and everything else. And he fell off a cliff 100 feet. And he didn't even get hurt. And he said, Nick, I got on my knees right there and said, hey, Jesus, if you're real, come in my heart and change my life. And God hit him right there on the hill, on the cliff. He went home, knocked on the same door that he left and knocked his wife's teeth out. She opened the door and welcomed him back into the house. Forgave him. He shared that testimony with me. I thought, well, I never cheated on my wife. This is 1976. From 1969 to 1976 is almost 7 years. That was April. It was April. This year we had an early Easter in March, but that year was in April. And I remember he gave me a book, 666. He happened to have it at the post office. So he gave me that book, Salem Kurban or something his name was, I believe. And I read this book and I started, at the end of the book, it talked about the rapture and all this other stuff. You know, how this woman and her kid left her husband or whatever. I think it did. I mean, it's been a long time ago. But I know I was really touched by the book. And the last page, it said, would you like to receive Christ or something? And he wrote his name in there. You know, and I read the book and I gave it back to him. And then in June, my sister got married. My dad's got a farm about a 120-acre farm, and my uncle's a Pentecostal preacher, and my sister had him marry her out at the farm. And my uncle's doing the service and everything, and I was walking around after the service. I had a bottle of beer, and I walked up to my uncle. His name's Art. I said, "Art, would you pray for me?" And he said, "Nick, I knew at that time that you were so close to getting saved." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So on my 25th birthday in August, August 21st is my birthday, and we went out to a Minnesota Kick soccer game, and I was sitting out the bleachers drinking a couple beers. I didn't get drunk, but I was just thinking about what all these people had said to me. And in fact, the last guy that gave me the book. And we went to a bar. We stopped at a bar and ordered a pitcher of beer. There was four of us at the bar. And I started talking to these other three people about this book I read. I wasn't even a Christian. I talked about the rapture and all this stuff. And I went home and I just went in my bedroom, got on my knees and said, "Jesus, if you're real, I'm tired of being a drunk. Come in my heart." And he came in. I've never been the same since. That was about 20 to 3 in the morning. Kind of like we stayed out last night. Man, I could party in the world and get up in the morning. Why can't I have fun with God and get up in the morning?
Right.
Oh, I don't know if I can go to church. I only slept 5 hours last night. Well, it didn't bother you when you were in the world, did it?
Right.
Hallelujah. So I got born again, and man, I was so excited. I went around telling people. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost or nothing, but I went to work, and I told all my friends at the post office, all my drinking buddies. I went up to my first friend. I said, "Hey, man, I got born again last night." He goes, "Oh, are you wearing diapers now?" And I just said, "Huh?" Then I went up to someone else. He said, "Oh, so you can't even drive a car now?" And they just really were persecuting me, and I was really bummed out. But I had taken a Bible with me to work the first day I got saved. And I went to the lunchroom on my break, and I opened up the Bible, and it fell to Matthew chapter 5. And it said, "Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." See, God was with me right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, you're going to get persecuted. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus still suffer persecution. A lot of people say, "I never get persecuted." Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God forever. A 7-year span. And then after I got born again, someone asked me, my sister called me up in 1981 and asked me a question. She was getting hungry. She said, "Nicky, how did you get saved?" And I said, "Well, there was this lady at Fort Knox, Kentucky," and pretty soon I started thinking, there was a man at Fort Ord, California. Someone put a tract under my door in 1972. In 1976, this guy gave me this book. The Holy Spirit brought every person that ever witnessed to me. See, the Bible says that we labor not in vain. 1 Thessalonians, you labor not in vain in the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 says, "Whoever receives you receives him who sent you." So even if people don't pray with you, I mean, there was people that didn't pray with me this weekend, but they received me. So I know they're going to receive him one day. I don't care because I walk by faith and not by sight. Some people say, how can you say that, brother? Well, I've seen it work. I mean, Abraham worked it. Amen.
Amen.
He staggered not at the promise of God. He was fully persuaded. Believe what God said in his word, he's able to perform it, huh? He was 100 years old. His wife was almost 90. Praise God. God told him, "You'll be father of many nations." Staggered not at the promises of God. Call things that be not as though they were. And that's what we do. Start calling your relatives saved. Start thanking God for saving them. That's what Brother Hagin did about his brother. He said he'd pray for him all the time. Finally, he said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving Dub," I think his name was. "Thank you for saving Dub, Lord." He said less than a week later, his brother was born again. There was a friend of mine. His name was Rich. One night I come home, I was a Lutheran. I was a born-again Lutheran. I mean, some people can hardly believe that. But there's a lot of charismatic Lutheran churches, praise God. And I came home. I remember one day, and I sat down at the kitchen table, and I started just thinking about him. Man, I started bawling. I was travailing. I was a Lutheran travailing. I didn't know what it was. Less than 7 days later, this man held my hand, and he got born again. And he was going through a divorce. I grabbed his hand. I said, "The Bible said where two of us agree on earth is touching anything, Rich, God will do it." His wife's name's Fran. I held his hand. Less than a week later, I held her hand. She got born again. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah! There's power in our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible said. People tell me all the time, oh, I can't do what you do. I can't walk up to a total stranger. Well, how long have you been saying that? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The more you say it, the more you believe it. But when you say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. It gets deeper in your spirit the more you say the Word of God. That's why a confession is so important. Man, I love that. Can I get a copy of that about the finances?
Yeah.
Speaking that over my finances every day? Praise God over the offering and tithe that you guys did here. I was getting so excited, just every word. Hallelujah. Words are powerful. Yeah, you talk about having a vision before we came down here. I told my team, I said, I believe we'll pray with at least 1,000 people in Tulsa. We get down here and you have the same vision. It's confirmed. God confirmed it. Well, we left Minneapolis on Friday morning. We actually didn't get out on the streets of your city until about 9 o'clock. In fact, we were driving around trying to find places to go. In less than an hour, we prayed with like 200 and some people on Friday night. Or 198, and then someone else had prayed with two, so we came up to 200 exactly for the first night here.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people yesterday. 800 souls in the natural. 800 people got to get saved today. My team, they got so much faith, they said, oh, we'll do it. I said, well, I'm believing for at least 200-300 people this morning and maybe 500 tonight. And they said, hey, let's get it all right now. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The only reason we count people, brothers and sisters, is because people count.
Yeah.
They're precious in God's sight.
Yeah.
A lot of people count how much money they have. All the time. Every day. A lot of people count how much alcohol they consume. Well, I had two Harvey Wallbangers and a couple Southern Comforts and Tequila Sunrise, and then I had a couple beers, and then I had and had and had some more, and then I don't remember what else I had. So I count people because they count. That's the only reason I count them.
That's right.
Someone asked me, how many souls you led to Christ? I don't know. God does. I know it's in the thousands, though. And I never thought, you kidding me? God could use me? I couldn't stand up in front of people. I remember standing in college before I got drafted in the Army. Standing up there, I had to do a speech class. My knees were just shaking. Oh, I couldn't do it. I thought, man, I can't do this. Then I was kind of glad I got drafted because he wanted us to do it again. So I dropped out of school in college. Went into the Army. Amen? I didn't like getting in front of people. I didn't think I could talk to anybody. But thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You can do anything, the Bible said. Everyone in this room can. Everybody in this room, you can lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ before you head home or he heads here. It's amazing. We had a man one time, he came out on the streets with us. His name was Leon. I said, Leon, stand up. How long have you been born again? He said, 21 years, Pastor Nick. I said, Leon, before you came out on this ministry, how many people did you ever lead to Jesus Christ? And 98% of the people in the body of Christ say the same thing. He goes, none. That's hard to believe it. And 98% of the body of Christ, why haven't they? Because the evangelist hasn't taught them how to do it. They don't know they can do it. They just think the evangelist is called to do it. So they come up to you and say, well, I know that there's only 10% of the body of Christ got the gift in you, God, Brother Ken. I said, where do you see that in the Bible?
Yeah.
It doesn't say that in the Bible.
Right.
When Jesus was with his 12 disciples, amen, before he ascended, he didn't tell them, hey, I know that there's only 1.2 of you guys got the gift of, you know, going into the highways and the byways, compelling them to come in, and the other 10.8 of you are supposed to stay back and pray. He told them all to go. Turn to Mark 16, please. Praise God. Mark 16, 15. Man, I'm getting blessed this morning. I just love the Word of God. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. We don't take guns and knives out when we go out. We take the Word of God. We take the sword of the Spirit. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God forever. Where did I tell you to turn? Mark 16. Okay. We had so much fun last night. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have so much fun doing this ministry. I don't think we left that building over there. What was it, 11:30, quarter to 12 last night? I mean, we just had a good time. We were rejoicing in the Lord. Mark chapter 16, 15. I shared the other night, a lot of people call this the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit told me, we call it the Great Go Mission.
Amen. Yeah.
Verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They were a doer of the word. He said, go in verse 15. They went in verse 20. And they went forth, and what happened? And they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. He'll confirm the word with signs following. A lot of times, when you even teach before you go out, he'll confirm exactly what the Holy Spirit spoke in the class before you go out on the streets.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. See, we're not out here to condemn people. I'm no better than them. I used to think I was. A lot of Christians think they're better than sinners. They separate themselves completely. I know there's a scripture that says, come out from among them. But Jesus sat down in Mark 2:15 and ate with them. And all the religious people got mad. What are you sitting with those people for? He said, I came to save the sick, not the well.
Amen.
How are they going to know unless you tell them? Most of them don't go to church. Most people don't go to church. I was in Portland, Oregon. Oregon, I guess it's called. Portland, Oregon. And I was out there in like 1991. And I remember going out in this place and there was like four kids in the bar. Or not the bar, in their car. It was a bar. They had all beer. They had a bar in their car. And I went and I got right down by the window. I says, hey, guys, how are you doing tonight? My name's Nick, and I'm a pastor from Minnesota, and I just came out to give you some good news. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And they're sitting with the beer trying to hide it, some of them. I said, hey, man, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you God loves you just the way you are. All four of them prayed with me. And I told them this. They said, why are you doing this? I said, well, I found out in Portland that only 17% of the people in Portland go to church. You know what that tells me, guys? 83% of the people in Portland don't go to church, so the church has got to go to the people.
Yeah.
And they go, wow, that's really cool, they said to me. About half an hour later, they drive by and they start waving at me and everything. They weren't mad at me. The only people that get mad at us are religious people. Just like they got mad at Jesus. You can't heal on the Sabbath day. Man's got a withered hand for 38 years to get ticked off at him. Because he healed them on the Sabbath day. Had to wash her hands a million times. Amen?
Amen.
Did everything religiously. I'm not religious. I hate religion. Never did a stinking thing for me. Never. I was on my way to hell. And I thought I was going to heaven because some minister told me that all I had to do is get sprinkled and get confirmed. That's right. And I believed him because he was a minister. That's why we have to live what we preach. I want to be an example of Jesus Christ. I want people to look at me and say, man, I see Jesus in you. And we've had people say that to all of our people. I want them to see that. See, because if I was living in sin today, if you live in sin, you wouldn't have no confidence to go outside the four walls of the church. I'm talking about dominating sin. We all make mistakes, but I'm talking about doing things that you know are continually wrong and you're practicing them every day. I couldn't do it because my own heart would condemn me. Amen? And they look right at it and say, man, I know you guys are for real. One day I'm witnessing out on the streets. This man sees me. He goes, I said, hey, man, can I give you some good news? He goes, oh, I don't want to hear it, he said. He said, man, you guys have been doing this for about 10 years, haven't you? This is like 12 years ago. I said, well, to be honest, it's been almost 13, I said, or 11. I said, pretty close, though. I said, I used to be a mailman. He said, man, you guys are more faithful than a mailman. I said, I know it.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you guys are out here. I see you every week out here. I don't want what you have, he said to me. Isn't that amazing? I said, hey, can I give you a hug? And I hugged him. Half an hour later, another one of my teams holding this guy's hands. He got born again in the street. One plants, one waters. God gives the increase.
Yeah, right.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Sometimes we meet the same people about 3-4 times. I was in Acapulco a couple years ago. There's like, I don't know, a couple million people in the city. We get out, you know, and everybody wants to carry a bag. They want to get a tip, you know. You get out of the, you know what I'm talking about? You're getting out of the airport and you're walking to the taxis. Mister, 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 you got 10 guys on you, man. You feel so sorry for them. A lot of them are poor. They don't have nothing. And you'd like to bless each and every one of them, you know. But there was this one guy, I think it was, I can't remember his name right now, but I ended up leading him to Christ. And about, we were there for like a week. About 2 or 3 days later, I'm walking through the streets, and he goes, his name was Leo. I'm walking down the streets. He goes, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at him for a minute. I go, "Leo." 2 million people in that city, and I ran into Leo twice. That's how much God loved him. And I told him, "Boy, God must really love you, man. I want to tell you, Leo, start reading that Bible. Now that you prayed that prayer with me," see, it's not just saying a prayer. A lot of Christians just say a prayer and that's it. It's going from there after the prayer. Going there with prayer. We encourage people to read the Bible, pray, find a good Bible believing church. I mean, there's a lot of them down here, isn't there? I was talking to Brother David and his wife, Elizabeth, went out with them, just so blessed by him this weekend. And I just told him yesterday, I said, "Wouldn't it be awesome, brother, if every church in Tulsa, Billy Joe's, I don't know a lot of them, Billy Joe, David Horton, your church, you know, other people that are down here, would all come together on a Saturday and just do what we did for like an hour or two, and you would turn Tulsa, Oklahoma upside down for Jesus Christ."
Yes, right. True.
Isn't it? Why can't we do that? Why can't we come together?
Yeah.
We have people from other churches come out with us on the streets. We've had Lutherans come out with us, youth with a mission come out with us, Baptists come out with us. We're all speaking the same thing. Jesus loves you and He died for you and He wants you to know you can go to heaven tonight. That's the good news of the gospel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't end there either. It's not just saying a prayer and, "Well, bless God, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, live miserable for your entire life." No, He said He wants to bless us. "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So we tell people, we go into homeless shelters, we say, "You know, you think God wants you to live on a mat all your life?" "No." "Well, I'm here to tell you He doesn't." Some people say, "Oh yeah, the Lord's trying to humble me." I said, "No, the devil's lying to you." He said He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. I said, "You're a son of God. Let's agree together tonight that you can get out of this place." Amen. And we agree. We have a Bible study at a Catholic Charities in Minnesota. They wouldn't even let us on the sidewalk about 5-6 years ago. Love never fails, the Bible said. You keep walking in love. Love those that hate you, the Bible said. Persecute you. Just love them. Bless them. Bless your enemies. Instead of getting mad at them. Soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1 says, harsh words stir up anger. I remember I'd argue with Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't argue with them no more. Mormons would come to my door. I offer them a cup of coffee. They don't drink hot liquids, I guess. Amen. See, you remember things like that. I met a Mormon about a month ago in Minneapolis. A Mormon in Minneapolis. I walked up to this isn't revelation, but I said, "You're from Utah, aren't you? How'd you know?" So they fly, you know, a couple thousand miles to come and tell us about Joseph Smith. But they're committed to a cause. The Jehovah Witnesses are committed to a cause. I actually didn't meet one in this city, but some of our people did. They're committed to a cause. They go out every Saturday and knock on doors. Isn't that amazing? Why can't we do that? Why can't we as the body of Christ do that? They're doing it. Anyway, I went up to this Mormon. He's got elder on his white shirt with his tie. And I go, "Hey, elder, how you doing tonight?" I said, "Hey, can I give you some good news?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You're a Latter-day Saint, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "So am I." I said, "My name's Nick, a Latter-day Saint Nick, and I got a gift for you." The man prayed with me. Didn't even know he was going to heaven. Goes to college for 2 years, flies all around, rides their bicycles through the neighborhood. Didn't even know he was going to heaven. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I didn't know I was going to heaven either, because I never knew I could know I was going to heaven. But I read 1 John chapter 5. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life."
Yeah.
I read Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yeah.
Shall be saved. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Yeah.
We can know we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
It's not a last minute surprise.
Yeah.
You can know today. If you're in this place and you don't know, you can know before you leave today. He wants us to know. I asked a man yesterday, Orc, his name was, last night on the streets. We went downtown Minneapolis. And I used my analogy. He didn't think anybody could know they're going to heaven or something. And I just said, you know, just like I know I'm married, Orc, I know I'm going to heaven. And you can know too. I said, you married? He said, yes, I am. I said, are you sure? Do you know? Do you hope or do you think you're married? He said, I know. I said, you can know, you can go to heaven. And he prayed. Works every time. It's so simple. The simplicity of sharing the gospel. Hey, can I give you some good news today? Oh, I sure could use some. My wife just left me. Here's a man you want to know about follow-up. What happens to him after you lead him to Christ? There was a man named, I shared this yesterday morning. His name was Stanley. Stanley Wiggins. And I'm walking down the street in North Minneapolis. And this guy's just walking like this down. And I said, hey, can I give you some good news here? He goes, boy, I sure could use some. I said, my name's Nick, man. I just came to tell you that Jesus loves you. Boy, I'm glad someone does. My wife just left me, took my kids. And I lost my job. I don't have a car. He's on crack cocaine. I said, I'm here to tell you, Stanley, that Jesus loves you. I said, can I pray with you, Stanley, to make sure you go to heaven? I mean, he lost everything else. Why lose your soul too? Amen?
Yeah.
He prayed with me. Well, I never saw him again. You read Acts chapter 8, the eunuch never saw Philip again either, after Philip led him to Christ. And I didn't see Stanley again after I prayed with him. And about 4 years later, I'm walking through the same area of town, and I hear someone scream out of a window. He's sitting in a Cadillac. He had chrome reverse wheels on the tires and everything, and I look over there, and I walk over there, and God brought his name back to me. His full name. I looked at him and I go, he goes, you remember me? And I said, Stanley Wiggins. And he almost fell over at the steering wheel. I said, that's how much God loves you, sir. He said, you can see I'm doing better than I was 4 years ago. He looked to the back seat of his car and here's his two kids. He said, my wife come back to me. I got my kids. I got a job. I'm going to church. And he said, but you know, Pastor, I just want to tell you this. Ever since I prayed that prayer with you, I have never touched drugs again. And that's what touched my heart more than anything. Because I never said, you're going to hell because you're a drug addict. I said, Jesus loves you just the way you are. He's the only one who can change us. He's the only one who changed me. I tried quitting drinking on my own a few times. A lot of people do that. I poured a quart of vodka down the drain. I'll never drink again. I got in a car accident in 1972, May 28th. Woke up in jail, wonder if I killed anybody because I ran into a car. I thought I was having a good time. That's what the devil says. Hey, eat, drink, and be merry. That's a scripture he knows. And money's the root of all evil. That's another one. Partly he knows. A couple scriptures unbelievers know. Eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus turned the water to wine. And it's the truth. Yes. That's what they know. Isn't that amazing? They remember those. But I tell you, we have an effect. This city's touched with all the churches you have here. They need God. I was totally amazed by all the people lost in this city. And you think everybody would be saved here. I mean, that's the perception I always thought. I mean, Oral Roberts is down here. All of these blessed men of God. You think the body of Christ would be going out and telling them, invite people to come to your church like you guys do here. That's invitational, like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus told her everything she did. And she went back and she said, hey, I met a man that told me almost everything I did. And it said almost the whole city came and believed on him. Just because she invited him. See, that's a type of evangelism. Relational type of evangelism. When you establish relationships with people in restaurants, and at your job place, and you live in the light, you walk in the light, you walk in the spirit, you're not a hypocrite. Because they're ready to nail you. When you tell someone you're born again, they're watching you. I remember one time at the post office, I was getting ready to move, and I had like some bank, you know, old canceled checks and everything. They had these big rubber bands. And I went up to my supervisor, and I said, Jim, could I just get a couple of those rubber bands to take home? You know, I'll bring them back and stuff, but I just need them to, you know, because they're really good for wrapping all these big things, you know. He said, sure, go ahead, Nick. So here I've been preaching to all these people. You know, in fact, I never said nothing to them because they wouldn't talk to me because they didn't like me. because they didn't like the light. They were convicted being around me, and I just smiled at them, hey, how are you doing today? And they'd walk away and never say nothing, and it was like hell. So I'm walking out to my car on the parking ramp at the post office. I'm getting ready to get in, and the guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, I thought stealing was a sin. I said, what do you mean? He says, those rubber bands you got in your pocket. I said, well, it would be a sin if I stole them, but I said I had permission from the boss to take them, and I'm bringing them back. His mouth dropped, but he was watching me like a hawk. When you tell people, Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. If you're not living the life, don't go around preaching to everybody how great God is and everything. Because they don't see no difference between you and them. They need to see a difference. The Bible said you and I are a chosen generation. A lot of churches frozen. It's a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. It said it called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank God for the light. The Bible said in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in the light. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word. I tell you what, it's so awesome. I had a man, and here's another. I mean, these testimonies are so awesome. The Holy Ghost is bringing them back to me. Again, I told you I used to drink, and we'd buy 16-gallon kegs after softball games, and I'd be one of the last ones to leave. Amen. And there was a friend of mine. His name was Mitch. And he was only like 30-some years old, but he worked at the Postal Service, and he was in the Marines. He's a big guy, muscular guy, worked out all the time, just a nice guy. But after I got saved, he kind of mocked me and laughed at me and stuff. But one day he walks up to me 9 years after I was saved. He said, I've been watching you for 9 years. He said, do you think Jesus could forgive me like He did you, Nick? I said, Mitch, He loves you. And it was my birthday. 1989, August 21st, at the lunch table. I reached over the table and Mitch asked this man and asked Christ Jesus into his heart. Less than a year later, I found out that Mitch died.